Well, it's the last of the kind of funny ones before we get back into February. So something a little bit different again, but something to, I hope, encourage you. We talked about the battle for the heart 2 weeks ago. And this morning we're going to look at Psalm 84. And that sense of home being where the heart is. Happy Australia Day for yesterday. Happy Australia weekend. Happy Australia week, if Sam Kekovich is correct in what he wants to bring about in our lives. 21 lamb opportunities, not including snacks. Actually, for us, Australia Day is a lovely thing, because what you guys do well is you celebrate well. And that sense of celebrating what is good and enjoying and being thankful is a lovely thing. We're not quite so good at that in the UK, and so we appreciate that. Another thing that I've heard regularly for Aussies is that often when they've travelled, when they've been abroad, and they come back here, they appreciate it even more, because many of the blessings of living in this land aren't appreciated when you're in it. There are many phrases which cover that sort of thinking. Familiarity breeds contempt. Grass is always greener on the other side. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. You know, that kind of thing. You've heard those or similar sayings many times and can bear witness to the truth of them. We get used to things. We get used to people. We take them for granted. Something that was once brilliant or lovely or wonderful becomes commonplace. And that can be so for the country that you live in. It can be so for the relationships that you have. It can be so in faith terms as well. And if you could turn with me to Psalm 84, we're going to look at some of that this morning. Psalm 84, a psalm of the sons of Korah. There are many questions about what according to Gittith means. And there are many people who try to explain what Selah is, which occurs a couple of times in the psalm. Let's just not get into that, because everyone argues about it. It could be a phrase like Amen. It could be a musical instruction meaning sing louder. It could be now it's time for a guitar break. We're not entirely sure. But looking at this psalm, and we'll take it a step at a time. The likely scenario for this psalm is that the sons of Korah, whose normal job was working in the temple as musicians or assistants, were unable to carry out their duties. Whether it was the local ruler, whether it was that the fact that they were actually had been forced away from where they lived. There are various guesses. No one is sure why. And there may have been, if they're like anyone else, times when they found their work burdensome. You know the scenario. Oh no, I've got to play in the band again on the Sabbath. We're doing Psalm 28 again. I hate that arrangement. Levi's bossy. Hannah sings out of tune. Caleb's just too busy on the zither. You know, they would have gone through the same kind of stuff. But certainly now, nothing could be further from the truth. And as we look at the things that these men felt expressed in the psalm, it reminds us of the huge importance of meeting together with God and the attitude that we should look to have. Maybe you get a bit tired with church at times. Maybe you become over familiar with it. Feels like a bit of a duty, a bit burdensome. I'd rather stay at home or head for the beach. But this psalm gives us three perspectives that can overcome that sort of thinking. Now, maybe because you're here, I need to get the CD out to the people who aren't here. But for all of us, there are three things I want us to look at this morning. One is a sense of longing. Two is a sense of journeying. And three is a sense of resting. Let's look at longing. Verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. For many years before I went into church ministry and afterwards in terms of conferences, I would often be away, sometimes on the road for several weeks, missions, conferences. And often there was the privilege of staying in lovely homes with godly people. And much as I enjoyed that, I wanted to be home. That's where I wanted to be, in terms of heart. Home is where you want to be. That's the sense you get from this psalm. I love to be where God is. That's where I love to be, where God is. I can't wait to get back to the temple again, where I can join with fellow believers in praying for you. There's a sense of longing in this psalm. It has similarities with Psalm 42, that sense of as the deer pants for the water, so my heart longs after you. And our souls long and are thirsty for God. These guys are even jealous of swallows and sparrows, because at least they get to hang around the temple. They're there and I want to be there. And one of the challenges to us is the importance of there being spiritual hunger and thirst, and the danger of us becoming complacent in faith. As in Australia, all of the good things that we have and we are blessed with become normal, so the wonder of the love of God and the salvation through Jesus and the Spirit's power and the fellowship of believers become commonplace. There's also that challenge that it's good to be spiritually ambitious. It's the one time when we can want what others have and more. It's the one time where that's a good thing. Now, half the focus of that usually is on cars and houses and boats and holidays. That's just stuff. But when you see people who are enjoying the presence of God, who are walking close with him, who are knowing his will and way, people whose gifts are being used in a powerful way, that's worth getting jealous about in the right sense. Lord, I want that. More, please. More, please. And one of the things I believe that the Lord would ask of us this morning, as we think about home being where the heart is what do you want? More than anything, what is it that your heart cries out for? Home is where the heart is. And maybe there are questions to ask yourself even as you go away and have a little bit of quiet during the week. What am I longing for? What should I be longing for? Secondly, we're thinking about journeying. Verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have their hearts set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Blessed are those who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. That's a sense of journey from one place to the next. On all of my travels, what was I looking forward to? I was looking forward to missions, an opportunity to share the gospel. I was looking forward to some of those special events and concerts and celebrations. I was looking forward to conferences where there was the opportunity to learn and the opportunity to teach. Yet in many ways, I was also looking forward to being back home after all of those things. Because home is the reference point. The other places are where you go. Home is where you come back. Home is where you are heading. And these verses give the picture of God's people away from the center of worship, determined to make their way back there. The journey will take them through dry and barren places, the valley of Baca, a desert place, which will in the process amazingly become fruitful places, refreshing places. And as the journey continues, their strength grows till they reach their final destination. They are thinking about journey. They're thinking about getting back to Zion. They know it will take them through a desert. But they believe that the desert will become a fruitful place as they journey. And one of the things I wanted to think about this morning is that sense of our spiritual life as a journey. And having not the attitude of a day tripper, but the attitude of a serious journeyer. When I was in my late teens, my brother used to take a group of us camping, and for him, camping had to be as unpleasant as possible because that was just the way he is. So we took the heaviest tents imaginable. We had a diet which he had carefully selected, which was cans of lemonade, digestive biscuits. Have you heard of those? No chocolate. And something called Kendall mint cake, which is basically a sweet and sickly mint and sugar combination. This was what we ate, sometimes for about a week. And one time we had camped just beside a lake, frighteningly close to a lake, in fact. And the next morning we were heading to yet another summit. It was a foul day. And so we had our tents on our back, and we had waterproof clothing on, about four layers because it was so cold, and we were making our way up the mountain. My gloves were both waterproof and it appeared to be Teflon coated, which was very difficult in the climbing context. But anyway, when we finally got to the top, almost exhausted, we got there to greet a bunch of people dressed in their summer clothes, because they had come up by cable car. It's not a good moment. And there were guys in their shorts and t-shirts, and there were girls in stiletto heels. And they looked at us as if we'd come out of some horror movie. But as can happen in Britain, the weather suddenly turned. And it turned within 5 minutes into a virtual blizzard. There was a gale blowing, there was snow. And as we watched them running to the cable car, breaking their stiletto heels, I have to say that even as a Christian, I smiled. I believe the Lord has forgiven me for that. But actually, there's a huge difference between someone at the top of a mountain who's come on a cable car and someone who's there for the long haul, especially when a blizzard comes. And for us, in terms of our spiritual journey, there is a temptation at times to be like day trippers. We just want to get on the cable car, we want to see the view, and then we want to step back down. We don't want the long, hard climb. We don't want to go to a summit and find it isn't a summit, and then another one and find it isn't one. But that's the way you grow. And seeing our walk with God as a long-term, continuing, ongoing, steady, gradual process without shortcuts and easy rides. Do you have a day trip mentality? Have you planned for the long haul? There's a difference in attitude, and it's about patience, and it's about perseverance. I believe God wants to speak to us this morning about the just the value of those difficult times. And I know that a good number are having difficult times. You've got to what you thought was the summit, and it isn't. There's another climb ahead of you. And then you've done it again. And then there's another climb ahead of you. Here, there's a picture of a desert. It's a hot, it's a dry, it's a barren place. And those difficult times in our lives when everything goes wrong, whether it's illness or loss or disappointment or breakdown in relationship. If we are determined to continue on the journey, God can and will take those times and make them places of immense progress and growth and fruitfulness and value, where we will learn, if we will learn, to trust and to depend and to overcome with His strength. If there are difficult times in our life, how can we make them more fruitful? What are the acts that we can engage in terms of the way we think and the way we behave that will make them fruitful times and not barren ones? It makes us think about our heavenly home too. Where are they heading for? They're heading for Zion. Where are we heading for? That's the correct answer. Who said heaven? They're right. I know it must be heaven. What are we looking forward to? What are the landmarks on our journey that are the most significant for us? Home is where you are heading. What do the landmarks on your journey tell you about where you're heading? You can see where someone's going by the places they're going. You can see where they're heading for by the places that they're going. What are the little indicators on the map of your life? Where do they say you're going? Are they about achievement? Are they about promotion? Are they about lifestyle? Are they landmarks that you're trying to head towards that are about comfort? That are about security? Are they landmarks that are about excitement and fun? There'll be a few of those, I hope. But look at the map. Is that all there is? What about the landmarks that say closer to God? What about the landmarks that say more like Jesus? What about the landmarks that say full of the Holy Spirit? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Home is where the heart is. Where's your heart this morning? Where are you heading? And finally, it's about resting. Verse 9, look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in You. When I was away, I wanted to get home. Why? Well, Joe's obviously got a few hints about why that might be. And the boys? Not because it was the fanciest, most secure, biggest, best equipped home, but because who was there? My family was there. It was a safe place. It was a place where I could relax. It was a place where I could be myself. It's home. Home is where you're at peace. Can be, should be, hopefully. When you come to someone's house and they say, make yourself at home, what do they mean? They mean relax, be at peace. Home is where you know you're loved and you can be yourself. Where you can trust those around you when you know that they have your best at heart. You have a show called Better Homes and Gardens. Yeah? It's not Better Homes and Gardens, it's Better Houses and Gardens. We had the Ideal Home Exhibition. It was the Ideal House Exhibition. It doesn't matter where you move, you take the rubbish with you. Doesn't matter how tiny it is, you take the good stuff. You can move house no end of times, and the next house will either be home or not home. It's so much more about who than where. Look at the words used in verse 10 here. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. In other words, doesn't matter what my job is, it's about being there. Because my God is there. The sun, my light, my life. The shield, my security, my protection. I'm happy, I'm at peace, I'm at home, because I'm with the one I can trust completely. And coming home, spiritually speaking, is about drawing near to God. These men love being in God's house because they love being in His presence. That's why. Whether it was the temple, whether it was heaven, wherever, they had a hunger and a thirst for God, which only He could satisfy. Now often, not always, but often, when we struggle with being in God's house, when we don't want to do church, though we may well blame the preacher, the pastor, the style of worship, the miserable, awkward, boring, insensitive, you fill in the rest, people who are there, often the problem is that we are struggling in our relationship with God. And though people can add to the problem, and often do, it can simply be a smokescreen, because the real struggle is with God Himself, and things need to be worked out with Him. Home is where you can be at peace. Are you at peace with God? Or are you trying to find peace in other places? Are you trying to do things to distract you from your lack of peace? Are you at home with God? Home is where the heart is. Is He your resting place? He longs to be just that. Because as you rest with Him, then He can rest on you. Have you ever heard the expression, "I developed a taste for it"? Whether it's beer or caviar or heavy metal. Develop a taste for it. And what first people find either hard or revolting or disgusting, then they end up saying, "This is yummy and I just can't do without it." That can happen with so many things that have little or no value. So you get the idea of the older guy giving the young guy the beer, and he goes, "It's disgusting." And he goes, "No, press on, because you will come to love it." You get the idea of the person in perhaps Toorak, not wishing to be judgmental, saying, "No, I know this caviar tastes like some kind of smelly, sort of fishy, salty thing, but you will develop a taste for it, and it's the thing to have." But that's what needs to happen increasingly concerning the most important thing. So that when people say, "Oh, it's hard praying, I don't want to. I don't like worshipping. I sit there when I've been told I need to listen to God and He doesn't say anything. It's hard." That's when we need to say, "This is worth pressing on with." Because most people have only tried it for a short time, then they've given up, then they've tried it again. And if I said to you that I'd been on a fitness program for a year, which involved me being on a fitness program for 2 weeks and then being off it for 2 weeks, you would point out the shortcomings, wouldn't you, of my fitness program. But isn't our spiritual fitness program often like that? 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on. And we say, "We've been doing it for a year. We've pressed on for a year, no progress." Well, actually, you've done no more than 2 weeks. And I'm saying you need to develop a taste for God. Because the spirit and the flesh argue with each other. And the stuff that is great and wonderful feels hard and unnatural and not much fun. But as you develop your sense of need for God, you will come to realize that only He truly satisfies. You'll want to be at church, to be with God's people, even these people, God's people. You want to spend time reading and praying, because you'll know that even if you have a week where it's hard, if you press on, then God will meet with you. You want to meet God more than anything. And the more time we spend with God, the more it becomes imperative. So as a people, as we come into the where it all starts again in February, where kind of church cranks up. Because like kind of, we have a Christmas break, don't we? It seems like 9 months, but it's not. But people do eventually come back. We need that sense of longing. With God is where we want to be. And that also requires a sense of pilgrimage, a sense of journeying. Not a day tripper mentality, but a determination that we will go through the desert, because that will become a place of fruitfulness and refreshment. Because we know where we're heading above all else. He is our journey's end. He is our destination. And in the middle of all of our stress and all of our striving, we need to remember that we'll only find peace and security with God, who is our light and our life, who is our strength and our protection, where we can be accepted by the one that we can trust completely, where we can be at home because we are with him, where we can be at peace because we're truly at home, where there can be a place where God can feel comfortable. The Holy Spirit, funnily enough, is holy. And he can't be at home with us if we're engaged in stuff that is distasteful to him. He's a sensitive spirit. He is a gentleman. And if there is rubbish and muck, he's not comfortable to be at home. So not only do we look to make our home in God, but we look to have a place where the Holy Spirit feels comfortable. Where he can not just kind of be, but he can be at home and rest and fill us and rest in us and on us. The sons of Korah wrote this, and it's in the Bible for a reason. And part of that reason is saying you don't need to be away from God. You don't need to go through this barren time of longing to appreciate God. You don't have to learn it the hard way. And there is not one of us here who doesn't have the privilege of being able to enjoy God's presence every day, being able to meet with God's people every week. Not one of us. He hasn't been taken away from us. So let's not despise it or be complacent about it. Let's put these things in place in our lives and find ourselves in the place where we experience true peace. So have you lost that sense of longing? Have you lost that sense of journey? Have you packed up on the journey? Have you gone on holiday on the journey? Have you said, that's it, I'm having a break now? I'm so over God. I'm off God. I'm off church. I'm having a break. Get back in the car. Get back on the journey. Perhaps it's time to realign and remember where our home is. Ask for God's help and the Holy Spirit's power. Ensure that's where our heart is. And on a weekend where we celebrate the great homeland, and now the Wheatie Prices and the Bakers are official Aussie Poms, then we, in some measure, can do that with you. Do you think Steve's got a bit more stroppy since he's become a permanent resident? Or is it the fact that he went to New Zealand? What? Yeah. He's glad to be back, that's what it is, yeah. But let's, this weekend, celebrate our spiritual heritage too. Celebrate our spiritual home, our spiritual homeland, and make sure that our hearts are set on being thankful and celebrating the home that we have in God and the fact that He makes His home with us. We're going to pray right now. I'm going to give you the opportunity to realign where you need to celebrate where you need to. And then we're going to sing a couple of songs together, just spend some time at the end in worship. And as always, if you would need some help or some prayer, then we set aside just the mat over there as an area where if you head over there, then someone will come and happily pray with you and talk with you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that by your Spirit you will come now. You'll take your word to us. And you will empower it and enable it to sink deep into our hearts. That it'll convict and challenge. That it'll refresh and encourage. That it'll rise up in thankfulness. That it will heal. That it will strengthen, resolve. Lord, forgive us where we've been distracted and we're looking for peace and we're looking for home in places where there is no peace and there is no home. Forgive us if we've made it difficult for you, Holy Spirit, to have a place where you can feel comfortable in us. And we want to ask as a church and as individuals today that you'll help us to celebrate the wonder of being able to know you and love you. And ask, Lord, that you'll restore in our hearts that sense of longing and hunger for you. You'll restore in our hearts that determination and perseverance in the journey. And you'll bring us to that place of peace that only you can bring. In Jesus' name. Amen.